Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener tells of the shadow person that has followed her all of her life and sometimes sings her to sleep. A house or something in it makes it clear that it does not want a specific family to move in. A good deed backfires when a listener offers moral support to a friend in a situation dealing with witchcraft, and something in an abandoned temple lets a visitor know where she is not supposed to go. Mainly into an abandoned temple. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again.
Hello.
An abandoned temple. It sounds like something out of Indiana Jones.
Kind of, yeah.
Or is it like a religious house of some sort? Or are we talking literally in the desert or in the jungle? Here's a temple.
It's in Japan.
Oh, okay. So a little more of an interesting setting.
Mm-hmm.
Then okay. Well, yeah. This should be interesting and exciting. As our ghost stories often are here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. If you've not seen it yet, it is up. It is posted. It is Seeing Ghosts, episode number 2, the January edition, because we do it every month. So the January edition is up. And I kind of did it like a magazine. You release it slightly before the beginning of the month.
Okay.
So it's up there, and you can enjoy that. It's packed with some really creepy-ass photos. And in this month's edition, and our EPPs can see that, by the way. You sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. In this month's edition of Seeing Ghosts, some of the photos I decided to kind of do some enhancements with. I mean, I showed the original that we got, but then to just further validate some of these apparitions that you see, just in fact that it's not some sort of weird trick of the eye, I did a couple enhancements, if you will, or filters. One was kind of a negative type image thing, one just kind of an enhanced black and white, and another just kind of a color enhancement. So it kind of pulls the blacks and pulls the whites, and it makes things a little clearer.
Okay.
And defined, if you will, like edges defined. And on some of these photos, it really brought some of it out even more. I mean, some of these apparitions were pretty damn clear to begin with, but when you did that, it really made some of them really pop, and you go, oh God, I don't think I want that standing behind my dog. Because I think my favorite one was the one where there was something behind someone's animal.
Okay.
It was just a picture. Somebody took a picture of their dog, and it was just a very creepy photo, and it looks like there's a little boy standing behind the dog, just off in the corner, just there. And there's a story that goes along with it. You can hear the whole story and see that image. It's one of the creepiest I think I've ever seen on the new show, the new video show, Seeing Ghosts. You would get that when you become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com. There's another one where it was taken on an old Razer phone. Remember the Razers?
Yeah.
And you'd think the image quality would be horrible. And it wasn't the greatest, but what you got out of this photo was a pretty damn good full-bodied apparition as well. Something standing in a doorway. We hear that often. We saw it standing in the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And this really puts a lot of those images to, or words or thoughts to image, if you will.
Okay.
And it is very, very vivid. There's some arguments about, is it a woman standing there or is it a man in overalls? I kind of lean more towards the man in overalls, but it's pretty damn clear.
Okay.
Creepy stuff. Anyway, you can check it out. Sign up to be an EPP and check out that video. We do a brand new one every single month. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Maureen writes in our first story of today's episode. She says, I shared my husband's childhood home's ghost story last year. You called it the real life Norman Bates. We're referring to him as the real life Norman Bates.
Huh?
The real life Norman Bates is what we called it. But that was the name of the episode.
That was the name of the episode, and I think it had to do with a house where there was like bodies under the porch.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where it came
in. We weren't referring to her husband as the real life Norman Bates.
It's like some sort of relationship with mom.
Yeah.
Or something. Okay. Just wanted to. I remember that episode, but I don't remember anything in the episode.
Yeah.
So, okay. Continuing on, I've listened to the show now since the second episode, and I'm a proud EPP. Well, thank you for that. I figured it was about time to share my own story. Although it isn't as exciting as a Norman Bates story, it was life changing and affirming for a 7-year-old me. I grew up with a step-grandfather who was 100% grandpa to me. I walked to my grandparents' house after school every day because my parents both worked. Being there every day when grandpa got home from work gave us time to get extremely close, and he called me his little buddy. One day, my grandma and I were making dinner when one of grandpa's co-workers from Toledo, Edison, came to the door. That had never happened before, so I could tell grandma knew something bad had happened. Grandpa had suffered a stroke at work while climbing down an electrical pole. We were driven by the co-worker to the hospital. Grandpa was in the ICU and Grandma went in to see him. I was not allowed in because I was only 7. As Grandma walked in, I was standing outside the door. Grandpa saw me, and although his speech had been affected, I knew what he was saying when he struggled to say, "Buddy," and reached out for me. He kept saying, "Buddy, buddy, buddy." I charged for the door. A nurse made a grab for me and caught my ponytail. I swung on her and ran to the bed. She tried to grab me again, and Grandpa growled at her. I loved him for that so much that moment. I jumped up on the bed and curled up to him, and there I stayed until we had to leave. That night, Grandma stayed with us at my parents' house, and at 3 a.m, the phone rang. Grandpa had another stroke, followed by several small ones, which took his life. I was lost. I was looking forward to the funeral just so I could see him again. Never lost anyone before and had no idea what was coming. After 2 days of staring at him in the coffin, certain that he was going to take a breath and get up, I was devastated the day he was buried. After we left the cemetery, everyone came back to our house. Usually I'd go off to my room when we had company, but I was enjoying the stories about my grandpa everyone was sharing. There were several of us in the kitchen when we all heard and then saw the front door open and close. No one was there, and everyone got extremely quiet. All the adults were just staring at the door. We all heard someone walking up the stairs. By the time someone said, "What the hell?" I got a whiff of my grandpa's cologne. I stood up and yelled out, "Grandpa!" I took off for the stairs. All the adults were on my heels going up the stairs, but I got to my bedroom door first. I pushed back the door and my room was full of the smell of his cologne and cherry pipe tobacco. As I stood there, gaping around the room expecting to see him, the doorway filled up with adults. My father said, "Look," and pointed to my bed. Just as my eyes found the bed, we all clearly saw the indent develop of someone sitting on the bed. The adults all stood there with their mouths gaping open, but I jumped up on the bed and hugged the spot, fully feeling that he was there. The adults slowly trickled out, but I was thrilled to stay right where I was. I heard the conversation as everyone walked down the hallway to the stairs. Although none of them believed in ghosts before they got to my room, every single one did when they left. I always, the odd one in my family, talking about ghosts and the paranormal from as far back as anyone can remember. So no one was surprised, and I was thrilled, not afraid, of my special visitor.
I think that's neat to have a bond like that and to be able to feel comforted when somebody comes to visit you in a time of need like that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting that everyone there in that house, in that setting, got a chance to see this.
Yeah.
That's very, it's shocking. It's one of those things where did anyone else then share that story with anybody else at work? Or their friends, or...
I don't know, and it makes you wonder. Maybe they just kept it as something just for them.
Sure, sure. I wonder if any of the rationale started kicking in afterwards, too, where people started going, "Well, no, that was just this, or just that." Just trying to rationalize what had just occurred. Because obviously that's a pretty extreme thing
mm-hmm.
to have a occur. But thank you for sharing that story with us. That's a very cool one. Our phone number here, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get those stories to us. And be sure to tell a friend about the show. If you like ghost stories, sharing the show, tweeting about the show, all of that helps us in growing our listener base, growing the show, getting more listeners and more stories, and making this thing the best thing it can possibly be. So if we got the inkling to tweet about something, which everyone seems to have, here's a topic for you, our show. That would be helpful, and thank you. Mackenzie writes in, I've been listening to this podcast for about a month now, and I've been wondering if I should share or not. My story isn't as serious as most stories, but it's creepy. I've always loved scary movies and stories, anything to do with anything scary. Might have been my 13-year-old imagination at the time, but I can remember this happening vividly. When I told my parents, they just said, wow, that's creepy. So I shrugged it off until I started listening to this podcast. My grandfather had recently passed away, and I felt so alone and broken at the time. And my sister was going through a lot and basically went off the deep end. I didn't sleep well, and if I would sleep, I would sleep on the couch so I would watch TV at night. I was a freshman in high school at the time, so I didn't really need sleep anyway. One night I was lying down on my side facing the living room. The porch light was off, so there was little light shining in from the window except for the moon. The house gave me the creeps. Anyway, and my brother and sister would pretend to hunt ghosts with an app we had at the time on our phones. Living room and dining room and kitchen were all open area with sliding doors in the back where the deck was. And across from the door was the basement, which I also hated because of the creepy crawl space. I was lying on my side like I stated earlier, no lights, no TV. I heard the back sliding door open and a slow swooshing sound. From where I was lying, I could see the opening to the kitchen, the dining room. I started sweating, and my heart was racing because I wasn't sure if there was an intruder or not. I heard it slide open and close. I lay there so still as if I was about to die. Just felt so afraid. I felt like someone was coming in the house. Got myself calmed down, remembering my parents were in the other room fast asleep, but then I started hearing a sliding sound, as if someone was dragging something or themselves across the floor of the kitchen. I immediately sat up straight and was ready to face whatever this was coming into the house in the middle of the night. Kept staring at the corner of the kitchen. Kept staring at the floor because I could hear something dragging itself and chains dragging. I just had a feeling this thing wasn't tall or standing. It sounded like something straight out of a horror movie. My eyes were so wide, and all I remember was telling myself, run. I saw the most disturbing image flash in the corner where the kitchen started. I couldn't make out any specific features, but I was so freaked out I just ran. All I remember was seeing black, just darkness dragging itself across the floor of the room in front of me. I don't remember my feet touching the ground. I ran, 13 years old, ran into my parents' room and literally jumped from the door to the bed. My parents told me I was shaking and pouring in sweat. I got in between them and asked if they could check the kitchen. They told me it was a dream, but I was wide awake. This might have something to do with the darkness image, but I would have horrific dreams about of my sister turning into a black dog and roaming around the house, just lurking around. Not sure if it was that, but all I know is that that house gave me the creeps. I told my mom about these dreams, and she anointed the house with oil on the doors, and we never had any huge issues again. My sister and I don't talk much anymore, and I haven't had anything creepy happen to me in a long time. I have some positive ghost, well, more like guardian angel stories, but this was one of a couple encounters where I felt like I was out of my own body and scared to death. I'm Christian, and so I always feel that if I'm safe, and I totally prayed when this was happening, but I do think things can happen to anyone at any time in their lives. I love listening. I tune in every single day at work and in my car if I'm traveling. Thank you for reading my story.
It's funny that, you know, sleeping in front of the TV, you know, you sometimes feel like you get a good night's sleep there, but then sometimes you feel like you just didn't get to sleep at all.
It's the light.
Yeah. I have no doubt that, you know, it wasn't a dream that was experienced when there was this thing coming into the kitchen and hearing it roaming around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's always difficult as a parent to not freak your child out when they come to you and say something like they're scared or, you know, to not make it worse. But I don't know what I would do in that situation. I would go and check, I guess, but that would be about all you could do.
You check, and when you don't see anything, you just try and calm them down.
Mm-hmm.
It would certainly be alarming to hear a story like that, you know, especially if it's something fairly uncharacteristic of them to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because not everybody, you know, comes up with stories like that.
Sure.
That, you know, that's, you know, sometimes you have kids who make a lot of shit up. And you have ones who don't. And it would just, you know, you would certainly probably put a lot of weight on it if it's something coming from a child that doesn't make a lot of things up.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would make it that much scarier.
Oh, yeah.
As far as what exactly are they seeing? Why are they seeing? You know, is there a reason it's being shown just to them? There's a lot of questions that I'm sure you'd be asking yourself and then doing what you can to get rid of it. And it sounds like that's what the parents did by anointing the house and blessing and things of that nature. And luckily that worked in this situation. All too many stories we have of the blessings and the anointing. And then the following line is, shit got really real then. And yeah. Luckily that's not the case here.
No.
So 855-853-4802 is our number. Elizabeth writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I have a number of paranormal experiences throughout my life, but I wanted to share one from my childhood. When I was about 5 years old, my family and I lived in an older neighborhood in Richfield, Minnesota. The house we lived in was very small, so my younger sister and I had to share a room. One night, while I was asleep, I suddenly awoke to the sound of someone breathing very close to my bed. I thought it was my sister at first, so I just ignored it, but as it got closer to me, it started to bother me a bit. So I rolled over to see why she was out of bed. When I rolled over, I saw a very tall shadow man wearing a hat and a trench coat next to my bed. Everything about this man was black except for his eyes. His eyes glowed like a cat's, and I was so frightened. All I could do was pull the covers over my head and close my eyes. The breathing continued for a very long time, but I'm not sure for how long. Being that I was a child, it could have been only a few minutes, but it felt like hours. I don't remember falling asleep. I just remember waking up and spending the day playing outside with my sister. The next night, I was terrified to go to bed, but I snuggled up with my security blanket, stuffed bear, and my pet cat that slept at the foot of my bed. Eventually, I fell asleep, but I woke up for no apparent reason during the night. I peeked around the room from my bed to make sure the man was nowhere around, and it seemed that I was safe. Until I glanced at the foot of my bed. Just beyond my bed was a very large pair of eyes staring at me. These eyes were again reflective, like a cat's, but the creature was not the man I saw the night before. This thing can only be described as the monster under my bed. I couldn't see most of it, but I could tell this thing was very large. It had long black horns, very dark fur, and I could see its teeth chewing at the edge of the footboard of my bed. My heart nearly stopped. My cat, who would normally sleep at the foot of my bed, was by my shoulder hissing, and I couldn't contain the fear I felt in my little 5-year-old body. I screamed, and my parents came rushing to our room. Just before the light flicked on, the creature ducked under my bed, and my cat ran from the room. My mother stayed with me the rest of the night and never returned to that house. After that, I only saw it one other time while out walking at night at the age of 15. It could have just been my imagination, but I could have sworn I saw it peeking at me from some bushes near my home. We had moved then. Ever since those two terror-filled nights, I felt a presence with me whenever I was trying to sleep. I have seen the tall black man many times in my life. Though he no longer breathes loudly next to my bed, he hums and sings to me. Not every night, but fairly often. The song is so familiar to me, but I don't know. I can't ever sing or hum it myself. I just recognize the song from his voice and years of hearing it before I'd fallen asleep. Never heard of a shadow person singing to anyone, so I'm not sure that's what he is. I also am quite sure this is not sleep paralysis because I'm always able to move and speak if I wish. I'd love your thoughts on these bedtime charades or serenades. I've always feared this man and the creature under my bed. I only feel it is the latter of the two who wishes to do me any harm. Thank you for taking the time to read this. I always love hearing the stories from your show. Hope you and your family are well. Be blessed, Elizabeth.
rare that we hear of a shadow person even saying anything, let alone
singing the hits,
carrying a tune. So it makes you think that this is trying to be a comforting presence.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't sound like the song is meant to convey a scary message.
Comforting presence, or is it trying to lure her in?
You would think that if after all these years that hadn't worked, it would have tried something else.
Different song, at least.
At least.
If this isn't working, let's try Peebo Bryson's greatest hits.
Oh, yeah, that's always good.
James Ingram.
Too similar.
Patti LaBelle.
Okay. No, I don't know.
At least offer one of Patti LaBelle's pies to him.
I think it would have tried something else if that's what its goal was. Because that's a long time to keep trying the same thing. That's like insanity. I think it has a different purpose.
Oh, it has all the time in the world, though, if it's a ghost.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, at least we think it does.
Mm-hmm.
That may be finite, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It may be a very stalker-like ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Stalkers keep going with no luck.
Stalkers are insane as well.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if that's could be kind of what it is. It's like a stalker ghost.
Okay.
That likes to hum
mm-hmm.
the greatest hits of Ace of Base.
Really? Well, he sure didn't see that sign, did he?
I know what that song is, but I can't quite get it.
That's enough.
Kathy writes in, "Hey guys, I love your show. Been listening. It helps me get through the day during school. Anyways, the story isn't mine. It's one of my best friend's mom's story. Since you've asked for a real estate story, this is the closest one I know. When my friend's mother, Sherry, was a little girl, her family was looking for a new house. They came across this very old home. They asked a real estate agent to show them the house, and they were thinking about buying it. The agent agreed and promised them, he'll show them tomorrow. The next day, he came and her family waited about an hour for the agent to come. He did, but completely forgot his keys to the house. He told them they'd have to crawl through the window to get into the house. They didn't mind, so they did. Here's a thought to that real estate agent. How about the real estate agent crawls through the house and opens the door?
That's that second thought that eludes a lot of people.
Yeah.
The first thought, yeah, most people have that. That's that second thought that a lot of people struggle with.
Everyone, crawl to the window. No one had trouble going through the window except Sherry. When Sherry put her hands down, the window came crashing down, crushing her fingers. Well, that's a lawsuit for that real estate agent. Probably not that time and place yet, though. No one could have done it. Everyone was already exploring the rooms. Even if the window did come down by itself, it wouldn't have had enough force to crush Sherry's hand. Someone must have come over to the window, forcing it down. Sherry saw no one coming or heard anyone. She screamed in pain and her family took her to the emergency room. All her fingers were broken. After that whole mess, the family was still interested about buying the house. They came once again, this time no crawling through the window. Whole family came, including Sherry, to look around, and every step that Sherry took, she felt someone was following her. She could even hear the footsteps of someone walking. Every time she'd turn around, no one was there. Sherry came walking down the stairs to catch up with her mother, when suddenly another pushing force came, knocking Sherry to the ground, making her fall down the stairs. The family came to the realization that the house wasn't safe for their daughter, and they never came back to the home. After that whole ordeal, many paranormal things happened to Sherry. As she grew older, she became more and more sensitive to the paranormal. Thanks for listening. I have many other stories about Sherry and others, such as my friend Destiny, visiting the Amityville house. Well, that sounds fun. I'm sure the current owners loved that.
I'm glad that the parents finally figured out maybe that wasn't a safe place for their child. I'm not sure I would have gone back for a second showing after my child's broken every single finger on the property.
Yeah, we really like that. A beautiful breakfast nook. Oh, Sherry, yeah, don't mind. She's not going to be able to do any schoolwork for the next probably year and a half, but let's talk prices.
And then it shoves her down the stairs.
At least something else happened that they finally said, we're done with this one. Let's see another one with a real estate agent. I wonder, did they keep the same real estate agent?
I don't know. I mean, I jokingly say that sometimes I feel like I have a paranormal kick me sign. I think this poor kid really did, you know?
Yeah.
That was awful.
Kind of targeted almost.
Mm-hmm.
And then continued to be targeted for another longer portion of her life. Thank you for that story. And yes, we would love to hear the other stories. I want to hear more about the Amityville house. Was it just like kind of walking down the block? Because people do that shit every day and they really don't appreciate that. I'm wondering if someone actually got into the house.
If you don't,
like as a friend,
appreciate that, don't buy the Amityville house. It's that second thought that is so difficult.
Why don't people just leave us alone? Oh, I don't know, because you have one of the most recognizable homes in history, you know, in popular culture.
Yeah.
It goes for a good deal of money, too. I mean, every once in a while, it's up for sale. They did change the windows, and the address is not 112 Ocean Avenue anymore. It's like something else, Ocean Avenue. Yeah. But people still know what the house is. It's easy to figure out where it is.
It's the same thing.
I'm thinking B&B. That would be...
Dead and dead?
Yeah, or a dead and breakfast. A D&B. Although you probably have a lot of zoning issues, because that would have to be... You know, it's in a residential neighborhood, which most B&Bs are.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the city hates the fact that that house is there and that city is primarily known for that,
mm-hmm.
and not all the other things that city, you know, otherwise would have a recognition for, they get that constantly, no matter what, that they probably wouldn't want to necessarily approve a B&B in that home.
Yeah.
Although at this point, that's where, you know, when you have issues like that, it's essentially a horrible PR issue for that city. I think your best bet is almost just to embrace it, because you're not going to escape it.
Mm-mm.
There's no way getting that to go away until 100 years from now, if the Amityville shit ever stops, or the movies and retelling of the story.
It'll become a museum. It's like it'll be our lifetime's Lizzie Borden house, which is now a museum.
Exactly. I mean, that's where it should just be embraced. And I think if it's embraced, and then other, I mean, it's an attraction in the city, if you will, and not just like a secret attraction,
mm-hmm.
that really isn't truly an attraction, then you can have other people come to the city. Oh, and look what else the city has. It can kind of become part of an array. You can make other things around it, like a theme park.
How much time has to pass before a home that wasn't just, not just popularized by the stories that we all know, but it's a murder house.
Mm-hmm.
How much time has to pass before it's appropriate to, like you said, embrace that?
Mm-hmm. Embrace
the house as something that people come to see because people were killed there and it has the horrible stories.
Well, I mean, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this is something that happened, and there's still people alive,
mm-hmm.
that are immediate family members.
Right.
So, I mean, it is messed up, you know.
I mean, you and I had a problem with the Titanic slide at the State Fair.
Sure.
And it was a good 100 years after that happened.
I think that's almost what you have to have. I mean, socially. I mean, that doesn't make it like really, truly acceptable.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's one of those things where pretty much everyone who was alive at the time when the event occurred, like the Lizzie Borden house.
Yeah.
Everyone from that time, correct? That was 1800s, wasn't it? They're dead. So there's no immediate, there's it's a history. It's, mm-hmm. a piece of history to people. That doesn't discount, you know, the tragedy, but in people's minds and the psychology of people in general, that's how they operate. And I think that really is what it would take, is essentially everyone. So all of us, you know, anybody who was alive or immediate, you know, pretty damn close to alive at the time that these things happened, need to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you still got a good 80 years on this before it can really kind of fade away and Amityville can be known for something else. But the thing is, these movies keep being made, and it depends how, if this is going to be kind of like Lizzie Borden, where it just keeps being retold and retold and retold. I'd say if the city doesn't want the nuisance of it all, city should buy the house next time it goes up for sale and just tear it down.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's a shame, but that may be one of your best bets, and you don't have necessarily sightseers going trying to find the house that doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, what do I know? That's just my thoughts. You know, if that's what their the avoidances. But, you know, the lore and the name is, unfortunately, it's going to be stuck with him for a long, long time. Cal writes in, good day, Brewskis. My name is Cal. I'm writing in from Salt Lake City, where a lot of my short but strange and creepy experiences have taken place. There was a shadow man that would make himself known from time to time. The shadow person first made himself known by telling my mother when she was a child that he was going to kill her and that her mother wouldn't wake up to save her. Empty threat as nothing happened, but very scary nonetheless. My mother told this story and no one took it too seriously. Until in their teen years, my mom's friend saw the shadow person for herself at the top of the stairs. Fast forward to many years later when I am now a child growing up in the same house. I used to see shadows of people running back and forth in front of my downstairs bedroom window, but whenever I'd run out to see who it was, no one was there. This happened often enough that I was annoyed with it. What made this occurrence even stranger is that there was a wooden gate to the backyard next to my window that would scrape the concrete and make a loud noise whenever anyone would go through it, but I would never hear the gate open when I would see the shadows pass by. When I was a child, I had a very hard time falling asleep and would usually still be up by the time my mom got home from her swing shifts. There was one occurrence where I was in my bedroom and heard plates clanking, the microwave started, the TV turned on upstairs. Assuming it was my mom getting home from work, I ran upstairs to greet her, but there was no one there and everything was turned off. Little inside knowledge, I'm sure you're wondering, we have been the only occupants of this house since it was built. The most frightening occurrence at this house for me was before I moved to the downstairs room and my room was upstairs. I know you love bunk bed stories. Here's another one for you.
Ding!
I woke up one night due to an excruciating pain in my chest and couldn't breathe. When I opened my eyes, I was face to face with the bottom of the top bunk with my nose touching the bottom of the top bunk support bars. I was levitating. I closed my eyes and just remember everything was blindingly bright. I opened my eyes and in a very slow motion, time-stopping-like moment, slowly felt and saw myself falling away from the bars. I closed my eyes again and felt my head hit the back bar of my bottom bunk so hard that it hurt. Opening my eyes again, I'm lying on my bed, I still can't breathe. It wasn't until I flicked the light on that I was able to breathe again. I can't exactly label what this experience was, and for the longest time was in denial it ever happened. After replaying it over and over and over, I finally accepted that, though I couldn't tell you what it was, it really was very real. I never had another levitating experience again, but have experienced seeing things and things like my bed shaking when nothing else, including the other beds, were shaking. I've had night terrors so real, I'd wake up screaming and crying, and of course, the infamous sleep paralysis episodes. Thank you for reading my story, for creating this outlet to share stories, and for the entertainment. It's likely I'll write you again in the future with more of my stories, which include more shadow people, a possible doppelganger, and a fawn-like creature that used to follow my grandma around when she was sick. You two rock. Keep rocking, and best wishes, Kel.
Okay, well, it sounds like there's a history in the family of things happening, so I'm not at all surprised that things happen to Kel as well.
How old is the bunk bed? Did your mom have the bunk bed?
I really didn't think about him levitating from the bottom bunk up to the top. I thought he woke up and he felt like it was crushing him.
Okay.
But levitating is more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's kind of a barrier, you know? You're just going to hit the top eventually unless you slide out and then go back up to the ceiling.
It makes you wonder if he could have rolled over and looked if he would have seen his body below him,
mm-hmm.
like an out-of-body experience,
sure.
or just a levitating
True.
Experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird-ass bunk bed story.
Got to get that bell.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get the bunk bed bell. That's what we call the BBB.
The bunk bed bell.
Got the BBB over here.
Why don't you put a button on your computer that you just hit?
It's not as fun.
Oh, but it makes sense.
Yeah, but it's not as... I mean, you need the bell. You need the whole little BAM! You can slam it down really hard. And you can really control... Because if you have a button here, you can't control loudness or anything. I mean, you can really hit a bell well.
Volume.
Yeah.
Not loudness.
Loudness. Loudness is a word, isn't it?
Volume.
Is loudness not a word?
Volume.
The level in which the sound waves travel from the object to your ear hole.
to your ear hole. That's special.
It's a little more technical.
Okay.
I want to make sure we're completely clear on that. E in Tallahassee writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm an avid listener and an EPP. I've always been very sensitive to the paranormal, but I tend to keep my mouth shut about experiences unless asked, since most people tend to think I'm crazy, but I thought it would be fun to tell you about the time I was real-life hexed by a witch. A few years back, one of my close friends at the time had just graduated from college, and she was going back to her hometown to celebrate with her family. She wanted me to be at the party, and she also felt uncomfortable around her stepmom, so she asked me to go with her. All I knew about her stepmom was that she had been really unkind to my friend while she was growing up, so I agreed to go for the weekend and hopefully act as a buffer between the two of them. Her hometown was just a few hours away, and everything was fine as we pulled up to her parents' house and went inside. I still felt fine, until I met her stepmom. My first impression of the woman was something is definitely not right about her. But not wanting to be rude, I didn't say anything to my friend. She showed us to our room, which had been my friend's bedroom while she was growing up. It was at the end of the hallway, the side of the house, just past the bookshelf on the left and the restroom on the right that we would be using during our stay. As soon as we entered the hallway, I felt uneasy. The feeling was even worse inside the bedroom and the bathroom. It felt very heavy and like something was watching us. But I just put my internal wall up to protect myself and shut out whatever was there. I found through the years that this can sometimes prevent entities from realizing you're aware of them. We dropped off our things in the bedroom and then left to meet up with some friends and headed to the beach. It's a fairly cool day and the sun wasn't too bright, but we still made sure to apply and reapply sunscreen throughout the few hours we were there. This may seem irrelevant, but trust me, it will make sense in a minute. We went through the rest of the day feeling great and having fun. When we got back to her parents' house that night, we both noted that we were only slightly pink-skinned from the sun that day, probably because we were diligent about the sunscreen. Yay for us for being responsible. As we settled in for bed that night, I felt very uncomfortable. We both got ready fairly quickly and made sure to put all of our bathroom supplies back in our bags in the bedroom because we would be going to her sister's house the next day. I had the feeling of dread that so many people report feeling in the presence of a dark entity. I slept on the side of the bed farthest from the door, but I found myself rolling over a lot, checking over my shoulder and looking at the corner by the door. I didn't see any physical difference between the corner and the rest of the room, but it felt darker. I felt very clearly that something was there and it was watching us. I didn't say anything to my friend, but I prayed silently in my head until I fell asleep. The next morning, when I woke up, I felt incredibly itchy. Every inch of my skin was itching almost uncontrollably. At first, I thought maybe it was just my skin healing from the slight sunburn I received the previous day until I realized that I was itching even on my stomach and my back parts of my body that had been covered by my swimsuit and not exposed to the sun. Weird. I went to the bathroom first, let my friend snooze for a few more minutes, and there, in the middle of the counter, was a lone can of anti-itch spray. I was really freaked out. The can definitely did not belong to either of us, and it was not there the night before because we made sure the counter was cleared off before going to bed. It was like her stepmom had put it there for me, like she knew I'd be itching this morning. It seriously freaked me out, and I didn't use it. Quickly left the bathroom and let my friend have her turn getting ready. I was packing up my things in the bedroom, feeling very uneasy still, and had this really strong feeling that I should look under the bed. So I did. At the foot of the bed, right in the center, was a quarter. It was face up, perfectly aligned, head towards the pillow, and deeply pressed into the carpet like it had been there for a long time. I thought, weird, but hey, free money! We went to grab it. As soon as I picked it up, I felt that same feeling of dread as before. It felt heavy in my hand, and I didn't like it. It felt like it had been placed there for some weird purpose. I went to put it back, but had the feeling I should turn it face down, like maybe it wouldn't have as much power that way. I don't know. At that point, my friend was done getting ready, and we left. In the car on our way to her sister, she began complaining of how badly her sunburn hurt. She said it felt worse than any sunburn she'd ever had before. I checked her back, and it wasn't even pink. It looked normal, but she said it was hurting like crazy. I finally decided to mention to her that I had felt uneasy in the room. She expressed that she had that too, and without me saying anything about it, she said, that corner by the door. I said, oh my gosh, me too. That was so creepy. It was at that moment that she decided to tell me that her stepmom had off and on been involved in witchcraft. Gee, thanks. You could have told me that before. She also told me that on the other side of that creepy corner was where the bookshelf was, where she kept all of her witchcraft books. Anyway, I ended up telling her about the weird quarter I found too, and she told me that she had found one just like that, same position, deeply pressed into the carpet, on the floor, right under her pillow. After some more discussion, we realized that there could have been other places in a pentagram formation because of the weird stacks of books in the room, but I can't say that for sure because it was just speculation and we never went back to check. We got to her sister's house and told her everything, and she told us that she thought her mom had been practicing again and that we should pray and take showers at her house to wash off whatever may have been placed on us. After each of our showers, we felt much better. My itching stopped immediately, and my friend's pain significantly eased up. We got home from our trip about a day later. I was going to go over to my friend's house just to hang out. I texted her, is it okay if I come over now? I got no response. About 20 minutes later, I got a text from her saying, are you coming over, or... That feeling of dread came back. I typed out my next message. I think something might be messing with our phones. I went to send it to her, but the send button was all grayed out and I couldn't send it. That had never happened before. I freaked out and restarted my phone. When it came back on, I got notifications that none of my texts had been delivered that day. I called her and told her what happened and told her to reset her phone. She did, and the same thing happened. The weird thing about that is that we have different types of phones made by different companies, and we have different service providers. So that's my story. I have many more that I can share with you. I'm sorry this one was so long, but I thought it was a weird one that maybe you would enjoy. Thanks to the show, E in Tallahassee.
I wonder if the mom did not appreciate the friend coming to kind of be moral support and be a buffer.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why she put some kind of spell on him or something to try and make their friendship fall apart.
Show you for bringing a friend to buffer you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like don't bring friends here because I'm going to curse them.
That or... this friend needs to go away because you're stronger with this friend.
Sure. I would think there's something going on there.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear more about the lovely relationship it sounds like they had growing up. She said it was like uncomfortable or odd, or I'd like to hear more of those details. Like what, you know, did anything else happen there?
Yeah.
As far as, you know, her, whatever she was doing or whatnot, if there's more to that. That story. Very, very interesting. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Our next letter. Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been meaning to share this story for a while now, and I finally found some time to type it up and send it to you. I'd first like to say I love your show, and I think Jenny's sarcastic remarks and verbal eye rolls, they make me snicker more than anything on the show and helps lower my fright-o-meter when things get too intense for me. I'd also like to say that I do not have any spiritual abilities to my knowledge, but I have had two encounters in my 23 years of life that have made me realize that the other side is very active. Maybe I'll tell the second story later. But the story I want to focus on today is from my first trip to Japan when I was around 12 or 13. First, I'd like to clarify I'm African-American, not all Japanese, not at all Japanese. And when I went on this trip, I was with a specific program that took a group of students my age all around Japan. I spoke about 2 years' worth of public school Japanese education at this point in my life, which gave me barely conversational-level speaking skills. I was the only one in the group that went that could speak Japanese, period. One day, we went to a locally famous abandoned shrine. I'll keep its location and name anonymous, as I do not want anyone trying to go into where I went. It rests at the top of a very large hill, and the shrine is rather large itself. There was a main building that was the shrine, but then there was an area to the left of it that was roped off except for a gap, which looked like an entryway into the space. I wandered off from the other students to investigate the area, and not sure if I was allowed in the space, I stood in front of the entryway and looked in. The small roped-off area, maybe 4 foot by 4 foot, had nothing but rocks inside. It was more like boulders, I suppose, but they weren't any taller than up to my mid-calf. Seeing no signs at all around this site, I took a step into the roped-off area and immediately heard, Negan, in a masculine voice, which, as I heard it, I didn't immediately translate it, since I'd been so startled by the close voice it had sounded like it was someone speaking loudly from right beside me. Which I'm not sure if it means anything, but it came from the space that was between me and the shrine. I immediately pulled my foot back out of the roped-off area, as I could recognize a stern voice when I heard one. I'd assumed that our tour guide or someone had been calling to me, that I didn't step into the space, but when I turned, there was absolutely no one around. I could barely see the people from my group, which were the only people that were at the shrine with me anyway. There was no wind blowing, no other noises. I thought back to what had been said in my ear and recognized the term from a fiction-based Japanese show I'd been watching. Negan translates to human. I very quickly took a very deep bow and apologized before walking away quickly to catch up to my group. To this day, I am very grateful that that spirit, or whatever it was, had just been stern with me, not angry like it could have been. As it's common belief in Japan that an abandoned shrine holds an unhappy god, and an unhappy god attracts unhappy spirits. Anyway, that's my story. To this day, I have been to Japan many times, and even have lived there, but I've not found any explanation as to what those rocks were, or what they represented. My only theory is that it was a Zen garden at some point, and all the sand was removed. But even that is weird, as I don't know if or why they would leave the boulders behind, but not the sand. Anyway, again, I love your show. Hope you enjoyed the story.
That is strange that they, if it were a Zen garden, that they would mess with getting rid of the sand but leave the boulders. But I think it's interesting that you go to visit an abandoned temple knowing that it can attract dark spirits.
Why not? That should be on everybody's list.
I don't know.
I'm wondering, my first thought was because there's so many interesting technological things in Japan, you know, just as far as, you know, technology and sensors and, and things of that nature that can, you know, relay messages and such. I mean, there's restaurants there where you can sit down and the food comes along on a conveyor belt and you just take it all. You know, it's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Very, very technologically advanced. I was like, what if it's just a sensor that, you know, was triggered and there's a speaker there that shouted out this, you know, almost like the GPS in Rusty Griswold's vehicle.
Yeah.
In the latest Vacation movie, where it just started cursing at him in Japanese. If it was something of that nature, just a very technologically advanced ancient temple. Is that kind of is a weird technologically advanced ancient temple.
But why on that little 4-foot by 4-foot room?
They don't want anybody fucking with the Zen garden. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe there's just something there. Maybe it's like a blessed spot of some sort.
Yeah.
I don't know. That. And maybe that's, you know, the security. I mean, even, you know, older buildings and temples, you know, sometimes, you know, there is, you know, obviously technology integrated for the security of the place.
Yeah.
If that could be what was there. I don't know. But you would think it would be yelling something like stop. Or,
yeah. Why would it yell human?
Yeah.
Not the Japanese version of human.
Yeah. That just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense.
I don't know. That's weird.
Very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, our phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Of course, you can also write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP. Sign up on the website. Get all of our bonus EPP episodes. We put new ones out every single week. More than 70 of them out there for you. And also, all those video bonuses as well. Seeing Ghosts, the monthly video series where we explore ghost photos that have been sent into us. And there's other video extras as well. So lots of extras there when you become an EPP for $5 a month. Not bad. And it keeps this thing going. So if you like it, please contribute and support it and keep it going if you would. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.